It's time to talk sports. We welcome onto the show now our own Michael Coe. Michael, how's it going today?
It's going well, Andy. First show in the new digs. Excited.
Yes, it's quite the scene in here. We're in a temporary studio that you're probably hearing the temporariness of it as we speak.
Yeah, just a tad.
I can see the permanent studio. It's not ready yet, but it's going to be glorious.
It's going to be great. Yeah. Can't wait.
Speaking of going to be great, can't wait. How about first-year field hockey coach Aaron Mattson?
Yeah, not going to be great anymore. Already great. Yeah, just a heck of an accomplishment for Coach Mattson and the field hockey team, winning the championship on Sunday in a really dramatic, intense game over Northwestern through four quarters, two sudden death overtimes, and a penalty shootout that went two extra frames. It went through six rounds instead of just the normal five. So yeah, just a wild game, wild atmosphere at Karen Shelton Stadium. Obviously, a ton of Tar Heel fans there. So yeah, it was pretty amazing to see in person. And yeah, just really, really happy for Coach Mattson and company. They deserve this.
Yeah, I was gonna say you were there in person. So what was it? What was it like? You said it was a raucous atmosphere.
Yes.
And we'll get to the ending in a minute, because the ending was a whole its own ridiculous thing.
Mm-hmm.
But just in general, what was it like there? How many field hockey games have you been to, and how does this one match up?
So I haven't been to very many in the new facility. I went to quite a few in the old field hockey facility, Henry Stadium, which is where the football practice facility is now. And that, I mean, it was nice. It just wasn't as nice as Karen Shelton Stadium. So this was my third game in Shelton Stadium. I'd gone to the Final Four game on Friday, and I had gone to a one game a couple of seasons ago. But yeah, by far this one the best atmosphere. I remember I walked out of the Rams Head parking deck, and there was a line of students and fans and a standby line stretching all the way down Ridge Road and kind of up the hill a little bit. And you just don't see that for field hockey games anywhere else. I mean, Chapel Hill has become kind of the mecca of collegiate field hockey in America, and it's thanks to what Aaron Mattson and Karen Shelton have done. It just the culture that they've built here. Yeah, it was a wild scene. It almost felt like, Andy, I think this might have been true, that there were more fans sitting outside and around the stadium than actually in the seats. I mean, there are a lot of pedestrian areas. There's a walkway that goes right by one of the goals. There's obviously a grassy hill area right by the team building, and there are just gates all around where you can stand and watch. So yeah, people just getting whatever sight lines they could for this game.
We'd like to talk about what this means for the sport in general in a minute, but we got to address that wild ending, because field mm-hmm. hockey games don't end like this.
No,
obviously,
not
you've got it's a different circumstance when you're in a tournament and you've got to crown a champion. But walk us through how we got to that end of regulation, and then how much action there was after that.
Yeah, so it was scoreless at halftime. Carolina scores on a penalty corner, which is like a corner kick in soccer, early in the third quarter. But then Northwestern really kind of controlled the game for the rest of that quarter. They had a really strong run of play toward the end. They earned a penalty corner, and then they earned a penalty stroke, which is like a penalty kick in soccer. They convert that. And so it remains tied through the end of the fourth quarter. And then in overtime, so in overtime in field hockey, there are fewer players on the field for both teams. It's kind of like overtimes in ice hockey, where they do 3-on-3, which I think is really cool. So there is a lot more up and down play, less possession in the midfield. Both Carolina and Northwestern had great chances to end the game, because, as I said, it's sudden death overtime. So first for Carolina, they earned a penalty stroke themselves. But Riley Heck misses what could have been the championship-winning penalty stroke in the first overtime. Game keeps going. Then in the second overtime, Northwestern gets a 2-on-1 breakaway, which you never get in field hockey normally. And Maddie Kahn, the Carolina goalkeeper, comes way off her line, slides, makes the stop on the shot before even the Wildcat player could get a shot off. And the game keeps going. Obviously, those are the two best chances of the two overtimes. And then we go into the penalty stroke. And almost as if, you know, it was written, it's Riley Heck who missed the penalty stroke in the first overtime. She converts the winning stroke for Carolina in the sixth round of the shootout. So, yeah, just a very dramatic game. Both teams, golden chances to win the championship. Carolina came through in the end.
You have to imagine by the time they got to those penalty strokes that Aaron Mattson was like, I want to take one of those shots.
Oh, yes. And that's something that I had talked with, you know, people inside the program with about is that, you know, the biggest disadvantage for head coach Aaron Mattson was that Aaron Mattson was not on the team, because when games go into overtime or when they go into crunch time, when Aaron was playing, it was always her who scored those goals.
Right. And it's I think it's one thing when the game's playing out and things that you've worked on have are playing out on the field. But when it comes down to those penalty strokes and it's just like a person taking a shot, that had to have been extra hard, where she was just like, I'm the greatest player in this stadium right now. Why can't I take this shot?
Yeah, it's, you know, she said she kept her hands in her pockets to keep to so people wouldn't see them shaking. And you saw after the game, she just kind of crouched down on the turf and just kind of, you know, took it all in. I think that was it was an overwhelming sense of relief for her that, you know, she earned all that press that, you know, NBC, CBS, The Wall Street Journal. And now, you know, it has a happy ending.
To your point earlier about this being kind of a like the mecca for field hockey now, this kind of turns into a machine, you know, where she's this dynamic young coach, and this is the place where everybody in the country who pays attention to field hockey now knows, hey, if you come here, you'll be playing in front of fans that are invested, and it just sort of seems like it's set up to be kind of a cultural shift moment. Yeah. For field hockey right now, at least in this area.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, that's a great recruiting tool when you're trying to get players out of the portal. Maddie Kahn did not originally come to Carolina. She was at Lehigh before. And when she got, she said when she got the phone call originally from Karen Shelton and then from Aaron Mattson once Karen retired, she was like running around her house, like showing everyone the phone, like, look at this, look at this. So, like, it for people who know about the sport of field hockey on the college level, North Carolina is the school. It is Notre Dame football. It is Vanderbilt baseball. It is Alabama football. It's everything you could want in a dynasty program.
Right. And I guess what's really fascinating about this moment is it was already that.
Yeah.
And now it's like it's like crossing, to use a music analogy, it's like crossing out of its genre and into like mainstream culture in some ways. Like, you know, those news organizations that you just named doing features on Aaron Mattson, like, you know, people like regular people who don't necessarily care about field hockey probably know Aaron Mattson's name now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like a different thing than the sports scene.
Yeah. And, you know, NBC's morning show, they did a like a 90 second feature on her after on Monday morning after the championship game. And they were just in disbelief, these anchors who probably had not heard of Aaron Mattson before the weekend. And for them to just even mention her name and for people to see field hockey on big channels like that, it's important.
Speaking of sports that people tend to pay more attention to, we've got a couple of soccer teams that are making some runs deep in the postseason all of a sudden.
That's right. As a loyal Indiana Hoosier alum, I know you know good college soccer, Andy.
That's
so,
right.
On the men's side first, Indiana is in the round of 16, as is number 3 overall seed Carolina. They beat Memphis in their second round game. North Carolina had a bye into the second round. So they beat Memphis at Dorrance Field on Sunday 2-0. They'll take on number 14 overall seed Hofstra in the round of 16 on Sunday at 5 p.m. Andy, pop quiz, what is Hofstra's mascot?
Ooh, I should know this from basketball, and I don't.
So they recently changed it. They were the Flying Dutchman. Now they're the Pride.
Oh, I wasn't going to come up with that, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Carolina taking on Hofstra. Your Indiana Hoosiers taking on Virginia on Sunday at 1 p.m.
There's a lot of history in that matchup. They faced off in the Final Four my senior year of college.
Oh, who won?
I believe Virginia won that.
Oh, well, chance for revenge. But
that's right.
For Carolina, the winner of the UNC-Hofstra game will take on the winner of Oregon State and number 6 overall seed SMU. So that's a potentially an all-ACC matchup in the national quarterfinals.
I heard the quotation marks around ACC in your voice.
That's
there.
Right, yeah. And then on the women's side, the women are in the national quarterfinals, the Elite Eight. They are a number 3 seed in their region. They'll take on number 1 seed BYU. On Friday at 8 p.m. That is in Provo, Utah. So Carolina having to make the trip up into the Rocky Mountains to take on the Cougars should be a tough one. But both teams doing well in their postseason tournaments so far.
Good to hear. Still a little bit in disbelief about the men's team. They just got hot at the right time, and they're still looking like they could get to the Final Four.
Oh, absolutely. And it certainly helps that they don't have to do any traveling until potentially the College Cups, which is the soccer version of the Final Four. That would be in Louisville this year in December. But yeah, to get one of those top 4 overall seeds, meaning that you, again, don't have to go on the road for any of your matches until the College Cup, it's huge. And they're playing well at the right time.
Then speaking of other sports that we speak of all the time, we got basketball, we got football. Let's talk about basketball a little bit, because mm-hmm. it is Big week. They're down in Bahamas for the tournament on the from the men's side. What's that lineup kind of looking like? Who do we expect them to play?
Yeah, so that lineup is actually looking maybe not as formidable as we thought 2 weeks ago. It's interesting. A lot of the teams that were ranked highly coming into that matchup, they suffered really shocking losses. Villanova lost to Penn. Arkansas lost to UNC Greensboro, alma mater of our very own Ayasi Chinflu, so shout out to the Spartans. So Carolina all of a sudden is the highest ranked team in that field, which I don't know if we could have expected coming in, but their first round matchup is against Northern Iowa. That is tomorrow at noon. You'll hear that right here. Carolina, you would think, would be able to win that game, but Northern Iowa is certainly a program that is to be reckoned with. They have beaten Carolina in the past. And then the winner of that game will take on the winner of Villanova and Texas Tech on Thanksgiving Day. Carolina-Villanova, obviously a lot of history there. And then on the other side of the bracket, you have teams like Memphis, Arkansas, Michigan, and Stanford. I think any of those four teams would present a good challenge for the Tar Heels. So, yeah, it's definitely a loaded field down there.
Definitely looking forward to getting some basketball, and I have not gotten as deep into college basketball so far as I'd like to, and this is kind of, they build the schedule this way, so you can kind of do it this week.
That's right.
Anything else you got your eye on going forward, Michael?
Well, I'll say the women's basketball team, they also have a tournament. They are in the Gulf Coast Showcase in Florida. That starts, I believe, on Friday. They play Vermont in their first round game. Other notable teams in that bracket include Iowa with Caitlin Clark, the reigning national runners-up. So big weekend for Courtney Banghart and the Tar Heels as well.
Michael, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you, Andy.